Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you made that sacrifice for us, that you made the way for us to be able to come, that you humbled yourself in that way, doing something that's just unfathomable to us, that the almighty, all-powerful creator of the universe would do, to make a way for us to be with you for eternity. Thank you, Lord, for that sacrifice. Lord, as we set out today to gain new vision, I pray that you would open our eyes to your word, to your plans for our future. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We love our buzzwords. A few years ago, there was a little thing that went around, and it was like a bingo card, and it had all these, you know, set up like a bingo card. It had all these words on it, like synergy and vision, and I can't even remember all. They change, you know, over time anyway. But all these corporate buzzwords that you hear in meetings that people say and probably don't even know what they mean. And the idea was if you got enough of them in one meeting and you made bingo, you were supposed to jump up and say, well, not bingo. But the point is that every culture has these words that are specific to that particular culture. And whether it's a subculture might even be a better word in that sense. Whether it's a military, whether it's a business, whether it's a church, we all have these things, and they're useful in that they help us to understand the topics that are unique to that experience. But they can also be pretentious and serve to shut other people out or make us sound more important than we really are. And the church culture has them too. And a lot of them, unfortunately, have been stolen from business. And not that it wouldn't be a good thing, sometimes the church has had a little bit better business sense. Kathy will tell you that. But we want to be careful how far we go in that direction, because we're not here for that purpose. We're here for a higher purpose. But vision can be one of those words. Vision, I didn't look it up in the dictionary, but essentially it is used in this sense. When you hear somebody say it out in the world, they're talking about some ideal future that someone has in mind. That they have a vision for where they're going. But, and we often hear in the church setting a misapplication, I think, of Proverbs 29:18. If you look in the Old King James, it says, without vision, my people perish. But vision in that sense, the more modern translations will say, are unrestrained. Or some even say, go wild. But it had to do with prophetic vision, and had to do with the course of the nation. Because you read the second half of it, it says, happy is he who keeps the law, or some variation thereof, depending on your translation. But it describes a state without God's word, without God's prophetic word. And we can apply it in that way, in that if we don't have God's guidance, whatever endeavor it is that we embark upon, especially as a church, if we don't have some kind of vision, some kind of idea where we're going and what we're doing, then we're going to wander aimlessly about and probably not accomplish it. And I do believe that we have that prophetic vision for this church. It was given to us 61 years ago. And it hasn't changed. But maybe its application has changed as the world has changed around us. I get amused sometimes in my trips that I take. Most people know I use Uber to get back and forth. And when some people outside the church that don't have any biblical foundation hear the word or see the word Bartimaeus, they think it's just a weird word. They find it hard to spell. That's why we're bbtemple.org and not bartimaeusbaptisttemple.org. Nobody ever find it. And they find it hard to pronounce. A lot of times my drivers will just say, "You're going to the temple?" I know what they mean. They don't want to say the word. They just skip over it. But to many of us, or to those that have been raised with any kind of biblical foundation, or even some people without outside of that sphere may have heard of Bartimaeus, but they only know him as a blind man, as a blind beggar. And in our church, of course, being it is Bartimaeus Baptist Temple, you have probably heard innumerable sermons on this particular passage because, well, it's Bartimaeus, right? But I'm going to put you through one more because there's something I really want you to see. The King James Version even calls him blind Bartimaeus. But why is he our namesake? We identify with him because he was blind and because he sought Jesus. And we provide opportunities for people who are disabled to find Jesus. That's why we exist. But what really defines Bartimaeus? It's not his blindness. Because what I want you to see today is Bartimaeus is not blind. He ceased to be blind once Jesus healed him. He is defined by his faith in Jesus.
Amen.
What defines Bartimaeus Baptist Temple? Our mission won't change. But it is in service to the Great Commission. With his blessing, with his help, with his power, we will turn the ignored, the belittled, the pitied, the forgotten, into the redeemed, the loved, the respected, the powerful, disciples of Christ. With that, I'm going to go ahead and read the story. And then we'll pick up and we'll talk some more about what's really going on here. Because I think it's awesome. And I think it's awesome that we're Bartimaeus Baptist Temple. And I think we're going to live it out in an even greater way.
Amen.
But starting in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. Then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began crying out and saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He is calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. some notes here on the text. The story appears to be repeated in all three of the synoptic gospels, so Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But there's some variation that requires explanation. Because Mark and Matthew say that he was leaving Jericho, and then Luke seems to say that he was coming to Jericho. So, which is it? Well, some people think you had an old Jericho, you had the original, and you had the new Jericho that existed during the New Testament times. And what it might have been that he was leaving the old city and coming into the new city. But it would have been a place, it was a major thoroughfare, it would have been a place that was good to set up if you were a beggar, so that you would have a lot of people passing by. But only Mark gives him a name. Matthew, in fact, gives us another piece. He tells us that there were actually two blind men, which speaks, in my mind, to the value of community. And what I wonder, it tells us that they were both healed, but what I wonder, would the second blind man, who never gets named, have been healed if Bartimaeus hadn't been there? Calling out. We're all able to bring somebody with us to Jesus.
Amen.
What's in a name? Much has been made of it. And the prefix bar, it says that it describes there in the text that he's the son of Timaeus. Well, that's what bar means in Aramaic. So it's a very, it's almost a name without a name. His name is simply son of Timaeus. Well, look a little further into that. And according to one source that I read, it means son of impurity. Now, that possibly could be because of his blindness and because people thought, remember the story in John chapter 9 when they asked, who sinned? It could be that it was thought that there must have been some sin. So they give him this awful name. And he lived with this. He lived with this shame until he met Jesus. The thing about Bartimaeus that we want to focus on is the faith that he had. He knew, he heard through who Jesus was. Jesus' fame had gone before him, and this man, however he came upon it, already had some knowledge of who Jesus was, enough that he believed. Jesus' fame preceded him. And so when Bartimaeus calls out, he calls out son of David. But what that is a messianic, that's a messianic statement. He's saying, I know who you are. I know you're the one who is to come. I know you're our Messiah. Have mercy on me. Bartimaeus was about to receive his spiritual sight, and he had already received his sight. He already saw what was most important. And he would not be dissuaded. I'm sure he was used to it. People, even today, although it's better than it used to be, tend to look down on somebody that's different, somebody that's not as able for whatever reason. And they don't necessarily express it as hostility anymore. It's more likely to come across as pity or presumption. But it's still there. But he's facing this hostile crowd, which is telling him, oh, shut up. He doesn't want to see you. He's a great teacher. He doesn't deal with people like you. That's what they thought. And they selfishly wanted him all to themselves. They didn't want anything to do with him either. And so they tried to shut him up. But Bartimaeus wouldn't be shut up. The more they told him to shut up, the louder he got. And Jesus responded to that faith. Jesus always responds to the cry of faith. So Jesus stopped. Would Jesus have stopped if he had given up? Would Jesus have stopped if he just cried out one time and when they told him to shut up, he did shut up? Well, I can't speak for Jesus. I don't know what Jesus would have done, but I have a thought that he might have kept walking. But Bartimaeus wasn't going to be deterred. And so Jesus responded to Bartimaeus' faith. And he calls him forth. And our fickle crowd now is all of a sudden all smiles. Oh, take courage. Stand up. Come on. He's calling. They have been soundly rebuked by Jesus' actions. And then it says, throwing aside his cloak. Now, this one kind of puzzled me because I'm thinking, okay, I have just heard that perhaps the most important person, well, definitely the most important person that I will ever meet is going to be passing my way. And I want him to pay attention and do something for me. And I'm calling out. And when I finally get the audience that I'm seeking, I start taking off my clothes. Wait a minute. But it, you know, this was actually an outer cloak, and he probably had it spread out in front of him in order to receive the money that he was asking for. He didn't necessarily have it on. So he's got it spread out in front of him, or maybe even on his lap. So he throws it off and he jumps up and he comes running to Jesus. He casts off his protection. He casts off his livelihood in pursuit of Jesus. Because nothing else matters but that Jesus has called him. So then he gets to Jesus. And Jesus asks him a very important question. We've seen this before in John chapter 5, but I want to point it out again because it's very important. It's important for us, whichever side of the ministry we consider ourselves to be on. I hope us all to be on the side of providing ministry as well as receiving it. But we ought never to assume that we know what somebody wants. And Jesus here is offering Bartimaeus, even though Jesus almost certainly knows what Bartimaeus wants, he is offering Bartimaeus the respect and the human dignity to ask him, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus does not presume to know, even though he probably does know. So Bartimaeus answers him. And Bartimaeus answers him directly, telling him what he desires. He doesn't beat around the bush. There is no plea here for, oh, could you find me a good doctor that might help me be able to see? There's no, could you help me to find a way that I can keep collecting money in a more efficient way? No, that's not what he wants. There's no plea here for him to endure the difficulties that are caused by the fact that he's blind. He said, no, I want my vision back. And Jesus heals him. And he credits his faith. He says, go, your faith has made you well. And what does Bartimaeus do now with this newfound healing that he has received? Faith was more than just his desire to be healed. Because he could have taken it at this point and run. He got what he wanted now. He could just take run off and enjoy it. Maybe get a nice job. Maybe maybe build a family, maybe do all those things that have been denied him by the culture that he lives in, the fact that, that there wasn't much that he was able to do. But no, what does it say? It says that he followed Jesus on the road. He has found his deliverer, and he is not going back. I don't know this for a fact, but I suspect that Bartimaeus never begged again. Now, what do we learn then from Bartimaeus? We learn that your circumstances do not define you. Not even your name. It is what is inside of you that defines you. Put your faith in Jesus.
Amen.
And don't let anything take it away. Do not let it be shaken. Don't be discouraged by difficult circumstances. Don't be discouraged by the stern scorn of others who don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. Nothing matters more than following Jesus. Don't be concerned what other things think of you. Don't be concerned about what other people think of you. They're going to think you're a fool. We were promised that. But their thoughts are not the ones that matter.
Amen.
Don't let your possessions get in your way, or even the desire for them. Don't let your means of support get in the way. And finally, bring somebody with you. There were two men that were healed on that day, Matthew tells us. And there were two men that followed Jesus afterwards. Bring somebody with you. What do we learn about Jesus? We learn that Jesus is not concerned with the outward appearance. We learn that he values every single one of us, regardless of who we are. We learn that he is a God of mercy, that when we cry out to him, he answers.
Amen.
And we learn that he responds to faith. Who is Bartimaeus? I say who he is because he's still around, you know. He's not here with us on earth, but he's still around. And Bartimaeus is not a blind man. He began as a blind man, or at least became blind at some point in his life. That word there for regain could be translated a different way, but it's not that important to the story. But once he met Jesus, he could see. Bartimaeus is a man of faith. Bartimaeus is a man who believed in Jesus. He cried out to Jesus. He would not be silenced. And he received what he asked for. If that is what we want to identify with, and we want to identify with Bartimaeus, we call ourselves Bartimaeus Baptist Temple. We are not a church of disabled people, though many of us are disabled or have disabilities. And we will always welcome people who are like us and people who are not like us.
Yeah.
And we'll always do the best we can to accommodate and make provision and make outreach efforts so that people know that we're here and that we're available. This is our mission, after all. It's part of who we are. But it is a part of the Great Commission. Because our ultimate goal is to do what Jesus said back in Matthew 28:19. Go out and make disciples. If we are modeling ourselves after Bartimaeus, We are a church of faithful Jesus followers. We believe what he said, and we never give up. And we see his response to our faith. So our vision is to be like Bartimaeus. That's not to say that we're all going to be healed on the outside. God has told me specifically that, at least for now, I won't be. I'm not allowed to ask about that anymore. He wants me to serve him just the way that I am. But we can all be healed on the inside. And we can shine through the sufferings that we endure. And when we are seen at his work, the world will know. Some will scoff, but others will come. And that's what we want. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for putting us here. Thank you for giving us the vision that you gave us so many years ago.
Amen.
Lord, teach us. Teach us how to follow you, how to bring others to join us, how to become the beacon that you always intended for us to be. How to be people who are actively in service to you in a way that shines forth, that people will see and glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done thus far. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.